We last left Scrooge once again with the ghost of Christmas Present, and Scrooge was begging him to stay for one more game at his nephew's house. It was a game called Yes and No, where Scrooge's nephew had to think of something, and the rest must find out what. He only answering to their questions, yes or no, as the case was. The brisk fire of questioning to which he was exposed elicited from him that he was thinking of an animal, a live animal, rather a disagreeable animal, a savage animal, an animal that growled and grunted sometimes, and talked sometimes, and lived in London, and walked about the streets, and wasn't made a show of, and wasn't led by anybody, and didn't live in a menagerie, and was never killed in a market, and was not a horse or an ass or a cow or a bull or a tiger or a dog or a pig or a cat or a bear. At every fresh question that was put to him, this nephew burst into a fresh roar of laughter and was so inexpressibly tickled that he was obliged to get up off the sofa and stamp. At last, the plump sister, falling into a similar state, cried out, "I have found it out! I know what it is, Fred! I know what it is!" "What is it?" cried Fred. "It's your Uncle Scrooge!" Which it certainly was. Admiration was the universal sentiment, though some objected that the reply to, "Is it a bear?" ought to have been, "Yes." Inasmuch as an answer in the negative was sufficient to have diverted their thoughts from Mr. Scrooge, supposing they had ever any tendency that way. "He has given us plenty of merriment, I am sure," said Fred, "and it would be ungrateful not to drink to his health. Here is a glass of mulled wine ready to our hand at the moment, and I say, Uncle Scrooge!" "Well, Uncle Scrooge," they cried. "A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to the old man wherever he is," said Scrooge's nephew. "He wouldn't take it from me, but he may have it, nevertheless. Uncle Scrooge." Uncle Scrooge had imperceptibly become so gay and light of heart that he would have pledged the unconscious company in return and thanked them in an inaudible speech, if the ghost had given him time. But the whole scene passed off in the breath of the last words spoken by his nephew, and he and the spirit were again upon their travels. Much they saw, and far they went, and many homes they visited, but always with a happy end. The spirit stood beside sick beds, and they were cheerful, on foreign lands, and they were close at home, by struggling men, and they were patient in their great hope, by poverty, and it was rich. In almshouse, hospital, and jail, in misery's every refuge, where vain men in his little brief authority had not made fast the door and barred the spirit out, he left his blessing and taught Scrooge his precepts. It was a long night, if it were only a night. But Scrooge had his doubts of this, because the Christmas holidays appeared to be condensed into the space of time they passed together. It was strange, too, that while Scrooge remained unaltered in his outward form, the ghost grew older, clearly older. Scrooge had observed this change, but never spoke of it until they left a children's 12th night party, when, looking at the spirit as they stood together in an open place, he noticed that its hair was gray.
"Are spirits' lives so short?" asked Scrooge.
"My life upon this globe is very brief," replied the ghost. "It ends tonight."
"Tonight?"
cried Scrooge. "Tonight at midnight. Hark! The time is drawing near." The chimes were ringing the 11:15 at that moment.
"Forgive me if I am not justified in what I ask," said Scrooge, looking intently at the spirit's robe. but I see something strange and not belonging to yourself protruding from your skirts. Is it a foot or a claw?
It might be a claw, for the flesh there is upon it, was the spirit's sorrowful reply.
Look here.
From the foldings of its robe, it brought two children, wretched, abject, frightful, hideous, miserable. They knelt down at its feet and clung upon the outside of its garment.
Oh man, look here! Look, look down here! Exclaimed the ghost.
They were a boy and girl, yellow, meager, ragged, scowling, wolfish, but prostrate too in their humility, where graceful youth should have filled their features out and touched them with its freshest tints. A stale and shriveled hand, like that of age, had pinched and twisted them and pulled them into shreds. Where angels might have sat enthroned, devils lurked and glared out menacing. No change, no degradation, no perversion of humanity in any grade. Through all the mysteries of wonderful creation, has monsters half so horrible and dread. Scrooge started back, appalled. Having them shown to him this way, he tried to say they were fine children, but the words choked themselves, rather than be parties to a lie of such enormous magnitude.
Spirit, are they yours?
Scrooge could say no more.
They are man's, said the spirit, looking down upon them.
And they cling to me, appealing from their fathers. This boy is ignorance, this girl is want. Beware them both, and all of their degree, but most of all beware this boy, for on his brow I see that written which is doom, unless the writing be erased.
Deny it,
cried the spirit, stretching out its hand towards the city.
Slander those who tell it ye, admit it for your factious purposes, and make it worse, and bide the end.
Have they no refuge or resource? Cried Scrooge.
Are there no prisons? Said the spirit, turning on him for the last time with his own words. Are there no workhouses?
The bell struck 12.
Scrooge looked out about him for the ghost and saw it not. As the last stroke ceased to vibrate, he remembered the prediction of old Jacob Marley, and lifting up his eyes, beheld a solemn phantom, draped and hooded, coming, like a mist along the ground, towards him. And that's the end of stave 3. Tomorrow we start stave 4, The Last of the Spirits. Yeah, extra spooky good times. I don't remember if I said this already because I myself am an absent-minded spirit. Bonus points if you get that reference. But we are about 73% of the way through. And we are still on track to finish by Christmas Eve, which is really exciting. Thank you so much for letting me into your ear holes and reading you A Christmas Carol. I love you all so very much, and take good care of your hearts, and I will read to you tomorrow. Bye!